The Haftarah for Parshas Shabbos HaGadol is selected from Malachi Perek Gimel. It's the final Perek in Trei Asar, so perhaps that's part of the reason it's selected. It's a Perek which describes Geula, at least towards the conclusion of Perek Gimel, which is, of course, the end of Sefer Malachi. So there's that aspect, and I'll talk about Eliyahu and Eliyahu's relationship with Pesach, which is, of course, the primary reason that it's chosen. Probably the pasuk that's closest to Pesach per se, directly Pesach, is an interesting pasuk, interesting Rashi also. In the earlier stages of the parak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rails against theft of misappropriation of funds, which should be delivered to the Beis HaMikdash, which should be delivered to the Kohen and to the Levi, the Trum and the Maaser, which are being stolen by people who are morally degenerate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pleads and instructs us to be more faithful and to offer the tzedakah to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem says that as a reward, I'll open the heavens, the windows of the heavens, the rain will fall plentiful, Baruch Hashem, this year in Eretz Yisrael. We have been privileged to plentiful rainfall. V'hari koti lachem bracha d'lidai, very famous song, I will deliver bracha without any limits. And here's the pasuk that's very Pesach-oriented. V'ga'arti lachem ba'ochel. I will scold. We would read it simply, your food. But the conclusion of the pasuk sounds like that the ochel is not the food, but is an organism or some force that can potentially destroy the food. V'ga'arti lachem ba'ochel. I will scold the consumer that could otherwise consume your food. V'lo yashchis lachem es pri ha'adama. And it will not destroy your crops, v'lo tishakel lachem hagefen basadeh, it will not cause a miscarriage, literally, to the grapes, amar shem tzevakos. So this is actually a pasuk, and Rashi interprets, v'ga'arti lachem ba'ochel, I will scold, I will rebuke, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rebuke, and thereby distance and protect against, ochel, Rashi says, is chasil, is a grasshopper, uvigazam, and locust, so Hashem is basically telling us, I will not dispatch arbe to destroy your crops, to destroy your grains, to destroy your produce. So as a reward for our proper tzedakah behavior, trumos and maestros, we won't suffer arbe. And of course, the implication is, the inference is, that if we are morally questionable and we do steal the truma and the tmeisa from the Beis HaMikdash, then we will be exposed to arbis. It's not a particularly multi-layered Rashi. Rashi just interprets the word ochel to mean arbe, but it does evoke part of Pesach, and it's probably the part of the Haftarah that's the most Pesach evocative. Probably, of course, the Pasuk that's the most famous is the last Pasuk, and I'm sure when people hear the Haftarah, it's very resonant. The Heshiv, Lev Avos, Alabanim, Velev Banim, Alavosam, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will restore the hearts of fathers to the hearts of children, and the hearts of children to the hearts of fathers. And of course, in context, the Heshiv is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu's direct activity, but it's Eliyahu's responsibility. The pasuk before, Inenochi Shalech Lechem Es Eliyah Hanavi Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagadol VeHanara, that Eliyahu will precede that great day, and the great day was referenced earlier in the parak, and maybe I'll get to it. It's the day of heat, the day of Yom Haba Bo'er Kitanur, which will be hot like an oven, will be hot like a furnace. So before that day comes, before the day of reckoning, the day of judgment, Eliyahu will come, and Eliyahu's responsibility, Eliyahu's duties, will involve some interaction between fathers and between children. And that's, of course, the two most famous psukim of the Haftarah. What exactly is Eliyahu's chore? Lev avos albanim, lev banim alavosam. So Rashi in Malachi relates to this. Rashi says his pshat, then he'll quote a second pshat, is that Eliyahu will lead to a great tshuva movement, which is how we typically interpret it based on this Rashi. Rashi writes, v'heshiv lev avos l'kadosh baruch hu, that Eliyahu will restore distant hearts, alienated hearts, disenfranchised hearts, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's the typical interpretation. We expect there to be a mass tshuva, v'ashivosa el avavecha, The Rambam already writes in Hilchos Tshuva that even though Geula is dependent upon Tshuva, without full Tshuva, Geula won't occur. Famous machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Sanhedrin. Kvar hevticha Torah, shesof Yisrael lasas Tshuva besof galusan miyad hinigalim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that even though it seems unlikely, even though it seems so distant and far, so many Jews today are not classically religious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn their hearts, a major event that will turn hearts back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's part of Eliyahu's chore. However, we typically think about that nes tshuva, that nes penitence, in very apocalyptic terms, the way it's just described as a major event, perhaps a major calamity, perhaps a day of reckoning. But the description of that mass tshuva in Sefer Malachi is much more hushed and much more tranquil. And it's Eliyahu's responsibility, and the manner, the methodology by which Eliyahu enables this mass tshuva is contained in those words, Leif Avos Al Banim, V'Leif Banim Al Avos. And what happens? So Rashi says, Yomar Labanim, Eliyahu will tell the children, Derech Ahava V'Ratzon, in soft and loving and charming or enchanting manners. Ahava v'ratzon. L'chu v'dibru el avosechem le'echoz b'darkei hamakom. Go back and speak to your parents and rediscover that tradition. Rediscover traditions which evidently were lost. Namely, the assumption is that there will be traditions that will be severed. They'll be discontinued. And somehow the Masara from father to child will falter. And Eliyahu will restore the channels of communication intergenerationally. And I think this is a very resonant Rashi. I think part of the current crisis is that the ability for parents to deliver the Masara to their children has been significantly compromised because the world has changed so rapidly and because one generation looks back at the previous generation. This is not something limited to 2019. I think it's part of the challenge of modernity. I think the world is changing much more rapidly, much more dramatically, much more globally than it ever did. Change was used to be much more slow-paced, and it would occur over dozens of years, decades, if not centuries, and now it occurs in 5 years or 10 years, and it prevents younger generations from looking to past generations as the source of Masara and as the source of authority in ways that I think previous generations were not challenged. It's no one's fault. It's not the fault of the millennials or the fault of, it's just cultural forces that create challenges to communication. And Eliyahu will have that capacity somehow to restore the transmission from an older generation to a younger generation. Ve'eshiv Leiv Avos Al Banim, that he will be able to ratify or validate the hearts of the fathers, namely the Masara of the fathers, upon their children. And then he says something interesting, Rashi, of course based on the Pasuk, but he doesn't elaborate. V'chein v'leiv banim al avosam. Somehow, just like children will no longer be interested in their fathers' or their previous generation's traditions, and Eliyahu will once again validate or reconfigure those traditions so that children will be better able to accept them, and that will lead to a tshuva. Somehow, there's a reciprocity, that there are certain discoveries of the new generation which the older generation will be dubious about or skeptical about, and somehow Eliyahu's chore, Eliyahu's challenge, his agenda is to enable the older generation to receive from the younger generation as well. This is a bit of a surprise, it's a bit of a shocker. Normally we see Masara as unidirectional, as previous generations possessing certain truths. They're meant to transmit those truths to a younger generation. Where that transmission is challenged, our Masara breaks down, dysfunctions, and Eliyahu has to rehabilitate it. But the reciprocity of the Pasuk is something we don't often pay attention to. That not only are there ancient traditions or traditions of previous generations that have to be reconfigured so that younger generations can accept them, but it's bidirectional. There are some discoveries of the younger generation that the older generation will be uncertain about or skeptical about or suspicious about, and Eliyahu will have to ease the ability of a previous generation to accept that. And I think it's a very provocative way of thinking. I think that sometimes we look at the degradation of the Masara in unidirectional and simplistic fashions, as if everything in the past is better and superior, and everything in the future in the modern world is morally challenged, and somehow if we could just get those ancient traditions to be more readily accepted by the younger generations, our Masara will be in healthier shape, in healthier situations. And it's not only true, there's certain discoveries of the younger generation, which I think the older generation has to listen to and be sensitive to and understand properly. So it's a really fascinating Rashi. Of course, it plays off of the pasuk. And then Rashi quotes, and of course, he attributes this to Mishmo Sherabeinu Menachem. This is a pshat that he quotes in the name of Menachem. Of course, he's referring to the famous grammarian, the famous linguist Menachem ben Sarok, who lived in the 10th century, and he studied language. He creates the first Machberes. It's called Machberes Menachem, in which he basically, it's the first Hebrew dictionary or book of grammar. Famous debates between, and he lived in Spain, Menachem ben Sarok, and Dunish, who was another grammarian, and another Spanish grammarian. Grammar has fallen out of use in today, not use, but out of study. We don't study it as avidly or as actively, but these were the great, great debates of grammar and whether Hebrew words are based on two letters or Hebrew words are based on three letters, whether letters could be switched or couldn't be switched, which had deep theological components. Again, we tend to think of grammar as a very dry area of study. It's just word manipulation. It's just etymology, but these had very deep theological roots. Then Rashi quotes, of course, the Mishnah Idiot. The Mishnah Idiot, or Idiot, the Mishnah quotes this pasuk, and it's part of a whole conversation as to what Eliyahu's chores and tasks will be. And Rabbi Yoshua clocks in with his opinion. This is the Mishnah in the end of the 8th parak of Idiot, which is, again, the last Mishnah of Idiot, which is very symmetrical to the last pasuk in Malachi. And Rabbi Shimon has the final word in the last Mishnah of Idiot. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shimon Omer. Actually, no, the Chacham have the last word. Lo l'rachek, v'lo l'karev. Eliyahu's responsibility is not to create kirov or richok. And again, kirov and richok in this Mishnah in Idiot has two connotations. One is turning people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu religiously, and also trying to help restore the realities of pedigree, who's tame, who's tar, who's in, who's out, whose family has been corrupted, has it been corrupted. Chum say that's not Eliyahu's job. Ela lasos shalom ba'olam, to create general peace, general tranquility. Shenemar, hineni sholeach lachem et Eliyahu hanavi, v'heshiv lev avos albanim v'lev banim alavosam. And by quoting this Rashi in contrast to his original pshat, which he quoted in the name of Menachem, and certainly the same contrast exists in the Mishnah Idiot, sounds as if Eliyahu's primary task is not religious. Eliyahu's primary task is interpersonal. His primary task is just to create healthy relationships, and it's not even national. It seems to be almost universal. Lasos shalom ba'olam is the language of the Mishnah Idiot, which Rashi quotes, and again, it gives a different spin on banim and avosam. It gives a spin of not Jews, but just generation. Every nation has avos and banim. It doesn't say Yisrael or Konim or Levim. So it's almost as if Eliyahu, according to the Chachamim, has a much more universal task, and it's also less religious. It seems to be more creating healthy relationships and a healthier fabric of society. Certainly we're living in a very politically radicalized and polarized world with a lot of hate and a lot of animosity and a lot of confrontationalism. And religious growth and religious restoration can't be built upon that foundation. Before religion sets in, relationships have to be repaired and the world has to be restored to a more tranquil and a more friendly and a more domicile world. So it's interesting that Rashi quotes this Mishnah. And we don't often process Eliyahu in that context. We process Eliyahu as a tshuva instigator, as a kirov agent. And according to Rashi, his pshat, as opposed to Reb Menachem's pshat, his pshat is much more global. Anyways, I did plan to discuss some other Rashis, but I see that this is such a multi-layered Rashi. about Eliyahu, so I'll end here, Mirz Hashem, in other years. I'll describe some of the other Rashis in Sefer Malachi. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat HaGadol, Shalom to everyone.